We turn now to Evagrius' discussion of Aetidia in three of his works, the Practicos on the one hand, his text on various tempting thoughts on the other, and his discussion of Aetidia in the Antiretikos. Looking first at the Practicos, in chapter 12 he gives a classical description of Aetidia, which powerfully influences the way in which this vice is described elsewhere. It's one of his, if you will, most humorous and at the same time most devastating and detailed descriptions of this temptation to not be about the work of God. He describes it as the noonday demon. This is something that strikes us in the middle of the day. He says it begins at about the fourth hour at approximately 10 a.m. in the morning and continues to encircle the soul, or to try to entrap us up until about the eighth hour, until about 2 p.m. So it's especially prominent around noon. It, he says, makes the sun seem to slow down. It seems like the day has 50 hours long. It seems like the day is never going to end. Then, in this second section of chapter 12, he describes the more agitated form of Aetidia. The monk keeps looking out of his window to bound out of the cell to see how much longer it is until the mid-afternoon when he'll be able to have a little snack. Then it also causes him to hate the place. You begin to despise the monastery or your own cell or the place of your work. It causes them to think that there's no charity among the brothers because nobody's coming to visit me. You know, here I am stuck in this place. There's nobody full of compassion because here I am with a sense of emptiness and nobody's coming to visit me. And it also provides a perfect opportunity for an attack of dislike or contempt for another, because if someone's upset us recently, then this is the time of the day when we'll particularly remember it and begin to brood on it. And number five, he says it causes us to desire other places. We need another job. This job is not allowing me to utilize my greatest skills. It's not energizing me in a way that I need to be energized. And perhaps I shouldn't even be here. Perhaps I should be somewhere else, because God can be worshipped everywhere. I don't need to be in this place. Then he mentions in number six that this is also an opportunity to stir up a remembrance of our past life, a kind of a sense of how burdensome asceticism is. And in short, he says, the demons employ every possible means to cause us to give up the life to which we are committed. This is, in many ways, a fundamental shaking of the foundations of the stabilitas, which Benedict particularly emphasizes. Will I remain in this place with these people, with these tasks, and continue to seek God? Now, if one holds out, he says, the struggle against this particular demon yields the great and wonderful fruit of a deep and abiding peace. I discover that if I can overcome the challenges that this demonic temptation employs, suddenly I discover a very deep and abiding joy. If I can only hold out until it fades, until that later afternoon or evening, I'll discover in my soul a kind of a joy that has to do with the discovery that this temptation does not last forever, and in fact I can find a very deep and abiding peace in the choices that I've made to be in this place and to do the work of this particular house. In the second selection from his text on various tempting thoughts, the Perilogismon, he has a much more positive and contemplative approach to struggling with Aetidia. If Aetidia overtakes us, we should climb up, he says, onto the rock of gnosis, the rock of knowledge, and he says, engage in a conversation with the Psalter. We allow the Psalterion, the Psalter, to be a way of moving away from this problem. Let us pray the Psalms, and that's perhaps one understanding of this, but it's only a superficial understanding of what he means by this, plucking with the virtues the strings of knowledge. What Evagrius is suggesting here is that we are not only reflecting on the Psalms that we are given in the text of the Scriptures, but he says, let us tend our sheep as they pasture below Mount Sinai, so that God may again call to us out of the bush, grant us the inner meanings, the logoi of signs and wonders. He means by this, let us engage our contemplative faculty and look at, first of all, the scriptures, but then the events of our own lives. God will enable us to, as it were, practice this art of contemplative exegesis on or in the forum of our own hearts. Our own struggle, our own spiritual history becomes a place where we discover the logoi, the inner meanings of God, and therefore signs and wonders like those that Moses knew on Mount Sinai, that we read about in the book of Exodus, these can be read by us in the forum of our own heart. The experience of temptation, the looking back over our own past, a kind of lectio on life can become for us a source of discovering inner meaning and inner purpose in this experience of acedia, of toil or weariness. So the gift of contemplative exegesis and an ability to do this spiritual study of our own lives can be a way out of this temptation and into the experience of meaning and purpose with which God blesses us as we become more truly contemplative Christians. If we drop down now to these texts from the Antiretikos, I've given a rather larger selection from these texts of the Antiretikos to reflect on, and I invite you to spend as much time as you wish perusing these texts and finding the verses that you might find of use to you. But what I've particularly highlighted in light of the introductory section that we've already done are the texts in which it would seem that Evagrius emphasizes the notion of patient endurance, hypomone, of enduring in a way that is also life-giving. Not merely, as I mentioned in the very first section, not merely simply waiting it out, but also actively seeking to do good in the context of this struggle in whatever way one can. And that figures very prominently in many of these descriptions. We also find that here he fleshes out the various forms of the temptation to acedia, which he has described in a rather limited way in the Practikos. And so we find in the very first one, number 6.1, he reminds us that acedia causes us to hate manual labor, causes us to resolve to learn a more profitable and easier trade, and instead we are to remember this invitation from the book of Genesis. We are from the earth. We must commit ourselves to this project of engaging in labor because it is there that we are to find ultimately our service of God. He then in number 6.2 reminds us that acedia will cause us to slander the Abba, the spiritual leader of the community, claiming that this person is not able to console the brethren. He's harsh, or this person has no sympathy with them in their distress. This is a part of the temptation of acedia. And he offers us the verse, "You shall not revile God, do not speak ill of him who rules you." Then in number 6.3, we find a direct reference to perseverance. Now, we presume that it is the word hypomone that is present here. Actually, the Antiretikos is only available in Syriac and Armenian, and we are dependent on a retroversion, an attempt to get back to the original Greek from the Syriac by Frankenberg, but which is a very reliable and has proved to be a rather trustworthy text in terms of working out what the original Greek is. So I think we can rely on the fact that indeed Evagrius is here reminding us of the need to recognize that perseverance is an important part of our goal. In number 6.3, he says, acedia will invite us to imagine that we don't need perseverance, that we can be filled with the fruits of knowledge, and suddenly we find ourselves swimming in this sea of emptiness and agitated desire to do anything except what will make us closer to God, and then we're reminded that through our continuous dedication, we will obtain the fruits of the land. Dropping down then a fair number of texts below to number 6.14, Here too, the word hippomone, perseverance, is part of the goal. Persevering in doing good. That the temptation will be for us to remember how burdensome monastic life is and how few there are who actually persevere in it. And he reminds us from the Psalms that we are to hope in the Lord and do good. We dwell in the land and we will be fed with the wealth of the land. Dropping down to number 618, here too, Acedia tries to destroy our hope of persevering, claiming falsely that the Lord will never deal mercifully with us. And instead, we have a verse that emphasizes the notion of perseverance. I persevered in persevering. The word is used twice in the Greek version of the Old Testament here, in waiting for the Lord, and he has listened to my petition. In number 638 and 639 again, an opportunity to remember how important this virtue is, and it's also used again in number 652 and 656, and 657 as well. So this notion of perseverance as an important spiritual virtue that needs to be practiced, a willingness to reach out and continue to work at doing the good things that our salvation has gifted us with, is a part of how we are to overcome this vice of Acedia. And again, I invite you to reflect on and consider these texts from the Antireticos to the extent that you find them to be useful.